The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Clean Nation. Mike Campion here with Bobby Woods from Tiger Cleaning in March. Because I wanted to say Tiger Woods Cleaning, and we already had the conversation. He's, I'm sure, had it 300 times. So I won't bore you with the Bobby Woods, Tiger slash comma Woods implied conversation that Bobby and I had. We had it live. It wasn't all good. So Bobby Woods with Tiger Cleaning, full stop, no Woods in the cleaning. This guy started March 2016, Memphis, Tennessee. Looks like they serve commercial. Anything you want to add to that, since I clearly tried to butcher your introduction, Bobby Woods?
No, absolutely not. You didn't do too bad with it. I do want to add that I co-own it with my wife. She's a huge part of the business. So I just want to give her a little credit whenever I can.
This is a man that's been married a minute. This is his first rodeo. He's like, I know how this could go poorly for Bobby Woods, and we're gonna make it not go poorly. And by the way, I don't think I'm ever gonna be able to call you Bobby. Bobby Woods is so much more fun to say than Bobby. So Bobby sounds like a kid, but Bobby Woods, that's like a cool guy. That's like a movie.
Listen, I take it.
What's your bride's name?
Misha.
Oh, Misha, that sounds like fancy and, you know, whatever. So Misha Woods. So I would call your wife Misha, but Bobby Woods has got to be Bobby Woods. So Misha Woods, we could just go with Misha, but Bobby Woods is Bobby Woods. Like it's one thing.
Yeah, I take that.
All right. I'm glad he got a name I can't possibly screw up saying, which is a deal. All right. Before we jump into me coaching, give Cleaning Nation a 30, 60 second, 2016, we're recording this 2021, end of 20, coming up on 2022 pretty quick. So 4 or 5 years in this thing, just give us a quick, how you got in, where you started, where you're at now, what your dreams are, just a quickie, and then we'll get to coaching. I promise.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll try to make it short and sweet if I can. But, in 2016, I was working in management at the hospital, at our local hospital here. And at the same time, my brother was starting a screen printing business. He was moving back from Nashville to Memphis. He needed help with it. So I decided to be a 50-50 partner with him on that. And I saw the writing on the wall, for lack of words. I saw that, hey, I'm not going to be able to do that business and work a full-time job at the hospital. So I took money out of my 401k. I purchased I bought into a commercial cleaning franchise called JanPro. And that's how I got started into the cleaning business. I allowed JanPro to, give me the contract, take half the money. You know how that works. And while I, at daytime, worked the screen printing business with my brother, we grew that. By the grace of God, we was able to sell it. So now in 2021, I am full-fledged in the commercial cleaning business, trying to grow it and potentially do the same thing and sell on it. But like I mentioned earlier, I have not only my wife, but I have another partner in this business that we would like to see it grow as big as we can. And if selling comes up at that point, then we will. If not, we'll keep growing it.
Cool. And are you still a JanPro franchisee?
So, yes, I am a JanPro franchisee, but I'm also the way the JanPro thing works is I just grab the contracts from them. I don't poach their contracts. That's the rule. I don't try to get their contracts, but I can still get business outside of them.
OK, so you have some of your own contracts and some of the JanPro contracts.
Correct.
OK, cool. Yeah. All right. So excellent feedback. And what's going on in your world? How can I help you today, Bobby Woods?
Well, great. So piggybacking off that, me getting my own contracts, I wanted to kind of migrate into the government contracting. I've already got registered with SAMS and all that good stuff, but I'm having a mental hangup, I guess it would be, on when I'm reading the solicitations, all of that jargon, I get confused. So now I'm kind of looking to see, A, am I overthinking it? And B, if I am on point with thinking that it is important to be tedious about it, is there a resource out there that you are aware of that I can maybe hire to help me facilitate bidding on government contracting?
Beautiful. I love that question. So
Man, there's so many different ways we can go with that. All right. If it's okay with you, I'd like to just like kind of mentioned before we started, we're invited Clean Nation to join, just ask you a couple questions and coach you as if I were coaching you, you know, a client one-on-one. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So let me start with a short answer to your question. Then I'll kind of get some data on where you're at and why you're looking to do this. And then I'll kind of give a more in-depth answer if it makes sense. But the short answer is before what I hear Bobby, having done this a couple of times, what I hear Bobby Wood saying is I'm trying to pick a niche, where actually he's not saying, because I'm just assuming my niche is going to be government contracting because I think I can make money there. Help me get into government contracting. Am I completely twisting where you're at, Bobby, or is that how you're feeling?
No, that's how I'm feeling.
Yeah. Okay. So for everybody out there, if you take out government contracting and put in car dealerships, retirement homes, apartment complexes, whatever that niche is, I'm always going to say, hold on, let's rewind. Because I wish in commercial cleaning, there was a niche that was quote unquote the right niche. Because then I just tell, you know, my job is so much easier. I can just say, everyone do this. But it's not the case. Each niche has its strengths and weaknesses. Including government. Government is a great example because its strengths are really strong and its weaknesses are really weak. So if you go into that niche without understanding what you're getting into, it might be a great niche. I'm not saying it's not, but you want to kind of have eyes wide open, right? So at this point, my job as a coach wouldn't be to be, yes, you should do government contractor. No, you shouldn't. Or to dumbly answer, here's how to get government contracts without even understanding what government contract, because government contracts is like saying my niche is commercial. Like government is there's a federal government, which operates very different than state government, which operates very different than city government, which operates very different from county government. You start getting to Indian tribal councils. There is a lot. We're in the United States, but you go to Canada, we've coached all over the world. There's government everywhere. And it is to say like the government is insane. That's like saying the people. All right. So first and foremost, and we don't have to do this part together, Bobby Woods, but I would encourage you to do it on your own. First and foremost, we always, 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 always start with, and what you're asking Bobby is whatever. Where are your customers? Without asking who the right customer is, or without asking, what are my freaking goals? So I want to encourage everybody, always, especially when you got three partners, dude, because you and your wife hopefully are pretty much on the same page. You don't have to be perfect, but hopefully you're mostly lined up with what you want.
Right.
But your other partner might have a whole different thing. So for you and your goals and you and Misha's goals, government contracting might be terrible or fantastic. But for your other partner's goals, whole different kettle of fish. So until we're clear on it, we could really step in a puddle without even knowing what's going on. So first and foremost, I'm going to pick on Bobby Woods because I coach a bunch of people and I have to be nice. But when Bobby's representative of a bunch of them, I'll just coach it like it is. So I get a lot of people just going, when I'll say things like, great, what do you want to be? What do you want this thing to look like? Oh, I want it to be as big as I can, Mike. So good. My coaching to you, not Bobby Woods, but anyone that said, I want this thing to be quote unquote as big as it can. Great. Work as hard as you can. And you're like, well, that's useless information. I'm like, I know you gave me a useless destination. Like, what do you want me to
do? I
give you a loose goal. Like, I want to be huge. And then expect specific coaching on how to be huge. I don't know what huge means. Is huge $1 million, $1 billion? Like there's a lot of huge. There's a lot of government. So we don't have to do this today. But before you move into picking your niche, you got to be crystal clear on time and money. That's the only two things we can put in or take out of a company. Well, we can't even take time out, right? It can free us to have time going forward, but we can't save it, right? Once we've invested that time into money or anywhere else into a business, it's gone forever. Money we can take out. So crystal clarity. Most people get wonky about, I want 100 employees. I want $1 billion in revenue. No offense, profit. There are plenty. Enron went bankrupt, for God's sakes. They're a multi-billion-dollar company. They went bankrupt. We don't want Enron. I'd rather have $1 million company making 200,000 than Enron being billions of dollars and going bankrupt, right? So we have to always start with profit, not headcount, not gross sales, not all the vanity metrics, right? Like, you know, my podcast is a little tiny podcast with a very specific niche. We don't have as many listeners as Tim Ferriss or some other really big kind of general podcasts. All I care about is, am I changing lives and making money? And we are. So I don't care. I don't get hung up on the vanity metrics of downloads and stuff like that. I mean, they're nice, but I understand, is it the vehicle helping me make my goals? And I know what my goal is, so I can help tell if podcast is good or bad. So
I get it.
If you don't know the answer, just say no. If you do know the answer and you're willing to share, you don't have to be willing to share. Do you have a specific revenue target a year from now? And if you share that, you're going to have to share what your revenue is now so we know the delta. And if you're like, I don't want to, hold on, man, that's private. We don't have to go there. I can use a fake. But you want me to use a fake, or do you want to tell me where you're at and where you want to be? I'm okay either way. I don't want to put you somewhere.
So to be honest, I don't necessarily have a concrete goal in terms of revenue.
Profit.
Profit. Yeah, I don't. Well, yeah, I don't have a concrete goal on profit. I would say to be comfortable, we need to be making $12,000 a month.
With three partners, that ain't all that much, frankly. I mean, yeah. That's fine. Okay. So first of all,
go ahead. Actually, I'm sorry. It'll be 12 for my household and for my, that would be me and Misha. So six apiece. I guess so. It'll be six amongst all three of us. So
18.
18. Yeah.
Okay. So I won't dive too far into this because the specific matters for Bobby don't matter. But I mean, they do to Bobby.
I get what you say.
Bobby's like, it matters to me, dude. Everyone else don't care. But do you see how without that clarity, and I'll bet you if I could ask Bobby's partner and Misha without them hearing this conversation, they'd probably have different answers, maybe similar, but it wouldn't be like the right answer is my partners and I have discussed that it's $18,000 a month. We want to be there January 1st, 2023. Or whatever that is, like that. And I could ask them both and they give me the exact same answer. So until we get where we're trying to go, you're like, what's the best train line, right? Is it Amtrak? I only know Amtrak. So is it Amtrak or Amtrak's competitor, whoever they are? And I go, where are you going? You're like, I'm not sure. I'm like, hold on. We might need a plane. We might need a car. We don't even know we need a train yet, right? So I know Bobby's going nuts. I just want you to tell me how to get friggin' government contracts, dude.
No. It makes sense. I'm getting it. This is
heavy. Fine. Cleaning Nation's clawing their eyes out, going, I just want you to answer the damn question, Mike. I hear you. I know. I get the angry emails. But again, I want to see you guys get the life that you want. It's not important for Bobby to know how to get government contracts. It's important for him to know where he's going specifically, have a clear plan to get there. And if a piece of that plan is understanding government contracts, God bless. We'll talk about that. But until that's the case, it don't mean nothing about nothing. Okay. So, first and foremost, for everybody out there, not just poor Bobby Woods, who I'm picking on, nice enough to come and be a guest, and I'm abusing him. For all of y'all out there, like, just tell me how to get clients. Hold on. You got to back up and go, who are the clients I want? Before you know that, you got to know what goal you're trying to fulfill, right? And so we're going to assume magic wand waved. Bobby and his partners have had that conversation. They're crystal clear on where they, and make it a year, make it a date. So even if you and your partners were all at $18,000 a month profit for the company, and how you divide that up is between you and God. That's, I don't care about that, but we just need to know what the company needs to make. That's all I need to know, how you guys divide it up. It's your own thing. Even then, like when you talk about with profit, and then the second thing he goes is lifestyle. Do we want to be cleaning some, none? You know, do we want to be working 60 hours a week in admin, 40 hours a week? Do we want to be able to travel all the time? Do we want to be able to do our work from anywhere in the world as long as we have internet connection? So once you've got that clear picture of here's the money we need this thing to take out and here or to take out of this business, and here's the time we're all willing to put in. And even that might be different, right? Your partner might be going, I need to make money, man. I'll work 100 hours a week. Let's go. Bobby might be going, hey, we're starting a family. We've got a family. I've got kids. That's not my, and who's wrong? Nobody. The partner right. can want to work 100 hours a week and want to get paid that. And Bobby can want to have a little more balance in his life and give up a little money for that. That's all fine. But the only wrong answer is Bobby not knowing what his partner wants and his partner. And then Misha might be a whole different kettle fish on her own, right? So super important that the step one is always crystal clear on where do we want to be profit and what do we want to put in time? What do we want our life to look like, right? Even if I could help Bobby Woods over the next 6 months, make $18,000 a month in his company, but all three of the owners are working 60 hours a week. Arguably, I don't know if I helped him any, right? Like, I'm going to make your life worse, not better. So we got to get crystal clear on what success is, both time and money. Once we do that, then we can pick the niche that is best suited to meet those goals. But until we know what the goal is, like if I don't know what I'm building and I'm like, Bobby, what's better, hammer or a screwdriver? You're like, hopefully you go, I don't know, man, what are you trying to do? I'm like, I'm not sure. Then you're going to go, what do you want me to tell you, dude? You know what you're doing. I mean, you know, how am I supposed to tell you what's the best tool, right? Okay. So step one, always get crystal clear on the goal, time and money. Step two, then we're going to pick the niche, the client, the perfect prospect that will, we believe its unique strengths and weaknesses will best get us to that goal, right? But if we are not clear on the goal, we can't be clear on where the niche will help. So let's just pretend fantasy land. Bobby's got all that. He knows exactly what kind of time he wants. He and Misha are looking to put in both quality of time. Do I have to be there? What am I doing? You know, cleaning toilets 60 hours a week is a different kettle of fish than building a team and doing something that you love and are passionate about 60 hours a week. So both quantity and quality of time. Good thing with money is there's no quality, it's just money. Profit. Okay. So once you have that, then we can start going, okay, what niche should we focus on that will most quickly or effectively or at the least risk get us to our goal? Okay. Once we do that, then we can start looking at niches, strengths, and weaknesses, which is what you actually asked. And we'll answer that and then we'll call it a day. So for government contracts, here's the thing. We always talk about, and people never get it and it drives me nuts. So I'm going to keep banging this drum. The number one thing we want to understand about clients is their pain. It's always pain. We go to, well, not the government contracts. It's different. Not housewives. It's different. Not golf courses. It's different. It's always pain. I promise you. And if there is no pain, there is no sale. Period. End of sentence. Full stop. Doesn't matter who your client is. They either don't have pain or they're not going to give you their money. Always. Forever. So high pain, easy sale. No pain, impossible sale. Only way you can help somebody that has no pain is to put them into pain, or if they find someone that actually has pain but doesn't understand they have pain, and then convince them and help them get clear on their pain, and then try to sell them on the fact that you're the best one to fix that pain that they didn't know they had 10 seconds ago. It is possible, but it is a son of a gun. So we all look at who's like government is attractive, A, because they're rich, right? We know they have ability to pay, but we don't really care how much money they have. Do they just have the ability to pay our bill, right? If it's a bank or a chiropractor, they have the money to pay their bill, right? So with the governments, they're rich and have lots of need, right? They have more square footage, probably. I would say, unfortunately, but you could disagree with just about anyone. You know, I don't like McDonald's. I don't think it's good for you, but I think a McDonald's is a more effective building than a government building.
Absolutely.
If you disagree, go to the DMV and then come back and tell me how that went for you. Or the VA, God forbid, our poor veterans that getting treated like cattle. Okay. So that said, we have to understand what the pain of the government is. And for a lot of people that don't understand what they're really selling, they'll go, my government doesn't have any pain. They have no pain. Of course they have pain. If you don't understand what it is, you're never going to be able to sell them. Yeah. The pain of the government is, can you help me cover my butt? Can you, if I hire you, will I get fired? Can I point to a wall of paperwork saying I did the thing, even though Bobby Woods failed, he had the insurance, he filled out the form, he went through the hoops. You can't fire me because, or even yell at me or get me in trouble or any guy, you know, not that anyone ever gets fired in the government for God's sakes, but I just want to CYA, man, cover my butt. That's their pain. Can you meet my standard of, I don't care if you're any good or not. I really don't. I just need to be able to point and go, this was the standard that kept everything nice, and I followed the standard perfectly. That is their pain. For me, that kind of pain drives me up a freaking wall, right? I want to be able to actually change. Like Bobby Woods, if I was going to take him as a coaching client and he's like, I don't care if I make any money. I don't care if I change anyone's lives. I just want to be able to tell my wife I did everything I could before I failed. I'm like, I would never take that guy as a client, right? Like, it's just, I don't want to work with that guy. It's just, I don't have time or energy, right? But that doesn't mean you can't. And I will say, to be fair, there are some, I hate to say bureaucrats, there are some government employees that care and do want the government buildings to be nice, but they are few and far between, and they're surrounded by a bunch of idiots that oftentimes have more power. So the good news is we always want to look at the pros and cons. The good news is they have a lot of square footage, baby, a lot of square footage. They'll tell you they're looking for lowest price. They're not looking for lowest price. They're, you know, why is it everyone thinks the government's looking for the lowest price, but we all have the joke about the, you know, $2,000 NASA hammer or whatever. And the people at NASA are laughing at me going, $2,000, they're 50 grand. Are you out of your mind? How is that? Because they're looking for the lowest qualified bidder. And qualified, that's another thing, can mean a lot of things, half of which are ridiculous, stupid. So it can be frustrating when you come in and go, I know I could do a good job, but I don't meet their standard. And you have to understand their pain. Their pain is not that you do a good job. It's that you meet their standard or their ridiculous set of standards. So the good news is once you go through that gauntlet, and it is a gauntlet of stupid insurance policies and jumping through hoops and having a supervisor on staff that doesn't even need to be there, but you have to have them there, and reading the RFQs, RFPs, request for quote, request for proposal, page by page, because that's where they get you, man. You were really the best person that I would say would be good at government contracts would be a lawyer. Because really, you're negotiating contracts more than you are cleaning. And that's it. Because that's the other thing. The good news of the government is they have stupid rules, but they'll follow their stupid rules. So if they say bids due by 5 o'clock, 6 bids come in, 2 come in 5:07, and they're substantially cheaper and better, you as the taxpayer can go, nope, you can't take those bids. You said 5 o'clock. That came in at 5:02. I'm going to fight it. And guess what? You'll win. A regular company would go, it was 5:02. You'd settle down. The government is like, no. You wrote it down. It's in your RFQ. It's no. You will disqualify those bids. And guess what? They will disqualify those bids. So that's insane. If you're the 5:02 bidder, you're like, can I do, I'm the better. Doesn't matter. So you have to kind of get over this makes sense and this is sensible, and into, which is our pain, right? I just want to get paid and do a good job and make this place nice and build my company. That's not their goal. Their goal is, can I get sued? Am I following my stupid rules? And then you have to do things like getting in on the RFQ creation process. That's how you win. You get in on the process. You go, oh, you need $7 million. It needs to be by a company that's A+ rated. All these weird requirements that nobody has but you. But you convince them to put it in the RFQ, and now you're the only one that can be the lowest qualified bidder. You're the only damn bidder. And guess what? You're expensive. So if that world sounds enticing, like that's how I want to make money, then government bidding is for you. the downside is it can bite you, right? If me and the other three guys that are in town, like a size of Memphis, there's probably two or three or four contractors that are kind of in that world, and probably three or four or five that have a couple crappy contracts that I don't even know are crappy. it took me and the other two or three guys that all know what time it is and all know all the key players and probably had a hand in writing a contract. We know what the good contracts are. We know what the bad contracts are. You're only going to get the crumbs at the beginning, because you know what the hell you're doing. So if you're willing to put in the time and effort to get into the echelon of, I understand. And again, this all goes with different things. That could be us on the, you know, on the, maybe the state of Tennessee, the city of Memphis, the federal stuff's a whole different kettle of fish, right? So I know the question was, how do we get government contracts? The short answer is understand their pain and follow their rules. And if you think they're dumb rules, get over it or don't do government contracts. You're really playing in a world of rules and regulations, not with most folks that are for profit. They want the best outcome for themselves and their employees and their customers at a fair price. The government wants to cover their butt. And again, I have sought thoughts, but you might have different thoughts, right? So there is no right or wrong. If you're wrong for me, up, down, and sideways, like, you know, it'd be terrible. They'd hate me. I'd hate them. We'd make each other crazy. And I've done millions by when I had my contracting company, I did millions of dollars of government work, and there was profitable. It's just a pain in the ass, man. And it was, it was what it was. All right. Questions, comments, rude remarks, Bobby Woods?
No, I'm listening. You're giving me some good feedback here. And some things that I can run over with my team to see if this is the direction we want to go in. I figured already that this was going to be a nail biter. It was going to be us up all night, twiddling our thumbs, but going through stacks and stacks of RFQs and all that good stuff, just trying to understand them. And I realized that was one of my weaknesses. Although I want to play in this game because it's a game that's not, I don't want to say oversaturated. I don't think it's oversaturated. I'm not sure. But I don't feel like it's oversaturated like our city is, in terms of the bigger cleaning companies going out bidding and underbidding, in my opinion, for contracts. And then me, I can come on as a subcontractor and get those contracts from them. But it's at a ridiculous amount of money that's not really worth it. So I feel like, since this arena is not necessarily saturated by the people in this area, which I'm not, like, again, I'm not sure if it is or isn't. I'm feeling like it isn't. I feel like, you know, it's at least worth us going after it hard and then seeing if it works for us.
So, excellent piece of feedback. And we're going to wrap with this kind of final thought. What you did, Bobby Woods, is exactly what most of the folks I coach and probably Cleaning Nation does, which I say, just find the pain. First of all, start with your goal. And then find the niche that is best suited to your goal. And part of that, the big part of that, is do they have the pain that you understand, ideally uniquely, better than your competitors, and or can solve ideally better than your competitors, or ideally the best in your area. And then you went back to, well, here's the market force. Like, we get residentials funding. Most of our residential owners are female. Why? Because in the residential space, the wife, the female, makes that buying decision 90% of the time. Most of the, and look at, here we go, Bobby Woods, male commercial, right? Because he typically has not made that decision in his home. If you guys have cleaners, I'm guessing Misha deals with 92% of that, but he's probably been in a workplace where they had clean. So we do what we're comfortable with or what we see as the opportunity, but that's not, you know, I get a lot of, oh, I do freaking, you know, move in, move outs, because I have a friend who's a realtor, does a bunch of, well, guess what? Move in, move outs are garbage work, but you don't go, is this a good niche? You go, is this easier? Am I comfortable, or am I familiar with it? So what most people do is, I say, understand your goal, pick the niche that you think will best suit that goal, regardless of the market thing, and then understand their pain and make sure you can communicate that pain back to them and solve that pain in a unique or better way than your competitors. And people don't do that. They go, well, this is what I'm comfortable with when I get. And that's fine. It's now a crapshoot. Because if what you're comfortable in, what you get happens to be a niche that's powerful and effective for your goals, you get lucky and it seems like you picked the right niche. But if it's not, we compromise that comfort. There might be a lot of females out there be much better at commercial, but they're just like, oh, I don't understand that world, or I'm really comfortable with the women or the home cleaning. So that's where I stick. And then same with the guys in the commercial. Residential might be better for them, but that's not what they're comfortable with. So we got to get out of what we're comfortable with or what we see and really distill it down into what's my goals, who can best get me to my goals, and can I uniquely communicate their pain to them and solve that to them in a way that's better than my competitors? Those are the questions we want to ask. So move out of there's a lot of them, or I see a lot of this, or I saw a guy, I know a guy who's super successful doing that. Those are all red herrings that are going to get you lose your focus. All right, Clean Nation, we kind of got deep quick. If you're like, oh, that was good, but it was a little fast, I'd like a little more. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com. We've got our 700 podcasts. I've got 2 books on Amazon. Best place to probably start is probably the on-demand training. If you go to growmycleaningcompany.com, the masterclass, I think it's 40, 50 minutes. It's the 5 shifts that you need. It is the best place to start. If you're like, we weren't really deep on something that seemed interesting, but I need a bigger overview, growmycleaningcompany.com. Check out the masterclass. That's the best place to start. Check it out now. See you there. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me. But like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share it with a friend. Share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. That's 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. I don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.